No matter how destructive our patterns are, there's one thing worth remembering. There's a reason we keep our patterns alive. There's always something in it for us, whether we realize it or not. Hi, everyone. I'm Drew Perroit, host of the Broken Brain Podcast. And today is Big Idea Tuesday, where I come to the podcast community and I share a thought, an idea, a distinction or guiding principle that's radically changed my life. And today we're talking about breaking free of destructive patterns. In fact, the title of the episode is One Powerful Way to Break Free of Destructive Patterns. And what's that powerful way? What's that one idea, that game-changing idea that's made a big difference in my life? It's this. There's always a reason we keep our destructive patterns alive, whether we realize it or not. I want to share an example that was written on an Instagram post. If you want to find it, you can click on the show notes and you can find this post that I wrote a couple years ago. And it was the inspiration behind today's podcast. And I think a lot of you will be able to relate to it. A few weeks ago, I caught myself making things harder than they needed to be. I used to do this all the time. Now I do it less, but it's still happens every now and then. This made me think, no matter how destructive our patterns are, there's one thing worth remembering. There's a reason we keep our patterns alive. There's always something in it for us. What's in it for me? What do I get when I make things harder than they need to be? Well, I get to feel stuck. I get to feel overwhelmed. I get to feel unsupported. And most of all, I get to keep playing small. I get all the proof my ego needs in that moment to remind myself why I'm not good enough and how I should have never tried in the first place. At the root of every destructive pattern is an insecurity that is hungry for attention and drama. Catch the insecurity trying to run the show, and the pattern loses its power. I'll repeat that again. Catch the insecurity trying to run the show, and the pattern loses its power. So the real question is, what's in it for you? What's in it for you, podcast community? What do you get when you keep your patterns alive? Some of you have heard me talk about the pendulum. It's this idea that the energy of a pendulum swinging to the left is the same energy that creates the momentum for it to swing to the right. I'm just talking about a basic pendulum, like ones that you've seen in movies or at a museum, or just a pendant that somebody might wear, and the idea and the physics of a pendulum. So if you imagine a pendulum swinging all the way to the right, that energy that causes it to swing to the right is part of that same energy and momentum that causes it to swing to the left. Now, if you have a destructive pattern in your life, something that you continue to repeat and do over and over again, this concept is super important to understand. Now, the first disclaimer that I want to share is that patterns are on a spectrum. Destructive patterns on a spectrum. I'm not talking about severe addiction or drug abuse. That's a whole game in itself. And that's not the destructive pattern that we're going to be talking about today. What I am going to be talking about is the 90% in the middle, the patterns that we run on a regular basis every single day. And we throw our hands up in the air after running the pattern or in the middle of the pattern. We say, why did I do this when I know better? Why did I repeat this pattern even though I know better? Or it's been years and I've done it again. This is the fifth time that I've done this thing that I know that doesn't work for me. And my question is, why do we do that? And I would argue that there's something in it for us, whether we realize it or not. So going back to the pendulum, when we throw our hands up in the air and we say, why am I doing this again? Why me? Why did I keep on repeating this pattern, this destructive pattern? When we put our attention and energy there, that's the pendulum swinging all the way to the right. And I would argue that we obsess over that a little too much. We obsess over why we're in that situation in that moment. And what we don't do enough is zoom out and ask ourselves, how did the pendulum have the momentum to swing all the way to the right? How did it have the momentum? Well, the question is, what caused it to swing to the left in the first place? No matter how destructive our patterns are, there's one thing worth remembering. So destructive patterns are on the right. There's a reason we keep our patterns alive. There's always something in it for us, whether we realize it or not. There's always something in it for us, whether we realize it or not, is the pendulum swinging to the left. Now, one framework that I've found that's a useful way to think about our patterns and the things that we keep alive and ask ourselves why we keep them alive is Tony Robbins' 6 human needs. If you're a fan of Tony Robbins or you know his work, he talks about the 6 human needs quite a bit. Tony Robbins was inspirational for me in my early journey of becoming an entrepreneur and figuring out my place in life. He was one of the early people that I would read that definitely shaped some of my thoughts and views in the space of personal development. So I'm going to read his 6 human needs. And as I'm reading them, think about the patterns that you keep alive and whether or not this need is potentially the vehicle driving that pattern. So the first human need is certainty. Certainty is the assurance. This is taken from the Tony Robbins website, tonyrobbins.com. You can find it there yourself. We'll link to it in the show notes. The first human need is certainty. Certainty is an assurance you can avoid pain and gain pleasure. So many times in our life, we keep a pattern alive simply because we're trying to avoid pain or gain pleasure in another area of our life. Why do I keep on hanging out with the wrong people, even though I know that they're not serving me? Well, certainty. We have something to do on a Friday night or a Thursday night or a weekend. Going and finding new friends and putting yourself out there and leveling up and getting new people in our life is uncertainty. It's scary sometimes, so we don't want to do it. So the vehicle of certainty causes us to do and play small because we're not willing to put ourselves out there. It's like when you catch the reasons that we keep our patterns alive, the destructive patterns, you actually have a lot of compassion for yourself and you have the awareness to unravel the momentum and the energy that's keeping the pattern alive in the first place. Let's go to number 2, Tony Robbins' 2nd human need, uncertainty and variety. We need uncertainty and variety, the need for the unknown, the change of new stimuli. So how could uncertainty and variety potentially keep a destructive pattern alive? It could potentially keep a destructive pattern alive because we don't want to commit to a goal that we want to do, even though it matters to us because we want something new. New is fun. Trying things new, doing things new, saying you're working on a new project, saying you have a new book that you want to read. Constantly being focused on the new could be one of the reasons that we keep a destructive pattern alive and we don't end up accomplishing in and focusing on what truly matters to us. The 3rd human need from Tony Robbins is significance. Feeling unique, important, special, or needed. In the example that I shared in the podcast earlier, the story from the post on Instagram where I had a pattern of regularly making things more complicated than they needed to be, especially in my work and my business, which meant that I didn't delegate as often. I didn't ask for help, and I felt like it was all on my shoulders. Can anyone relate? Now, the question is, why would I continue to play that pattern out? Why would I keep that pattern alive? Well, sometimes significance will have you keep a pattern alive. The feeling of nobody else can accomplish this besides me. I used to have myself on such a high pedestal with certain tasks inside the company, I would say, nobody can do it as good as I can. So I would hold on to it. And if you hold on to too many things, then one day you wake up and you're like, holy smokes, I have too much stuff on my plate and now I'm overwhelmed. Can any of you relate to the pattern, the destructive pattern of continuously being overwhelmed? How did you end up there? How did you end up that the pendulum swung all the way to the right, which is you feeling overwhelmed? Well, could significance have played a role that you feel like you're the only person that can do this? I know, having talked to a lot of mothers on this podcast that have texted me, not that it's exclusive to them, but this feeling of they're the only person that can do it, and they can't reach out to other people to ask them. There's so many layers to that. There's the feeling of feeling alone sometimes, not feeling like you have the support or the village around there for you. But one small need that I've seen that's come up for people, and it's not just exclusive to mothers, as I mentioned it, is significance. The feeling unique, important, and special, that I'm the only person that can take care of this thing. Nobody else can do it as good as I can. So I'm going to hold on to it, which in return can cause the pendulum to swing to the right. And that can make us feel overwhelmed. Number four, connection and love. A strong feeling of closeness or union with someone or something. You see this in the world of dating a lot. Why do people continuously go after the wrong individuals? Sometimes it's just the need or feeling of connection. I feel lonely right now. I want to meet somebody. Or I feel left out. Or I feel like I don't have somebody in my life. And that can drive behavior that causes you to potentially date or see or spend time with somebody that's not supportive for you. Number five, growth. What is growth? Growth is an expansion of capacity, capability, or understanding. Wow. Could growth cause us to repeat a destructive pattern? The last two, growth and contribution, which I've heard Tony Robbins say at his live events and in his podcast and his materials, are the sort of top human needs when we have the first four covered. And usually people are driven by two primary human needs, is what Tony Robbins talks about. We have two top needs, which makes us individual and unique, where we can bring our unique contributions to the planet. So growth, which is number five, and contribution, which is number six. Contribution is a sense of service and focus on helping and giving and supporting others, are less likely to be the source of destructive patterns. But I'm sure we can find that we can be overcommitted to growth, or that we might be so focused on contribution that we might be ignoring other areas of our life. So these are Tony Robbins' six human needs, and they're one lens, one of many lenses that you can look at. What are the reasons why you keep a destructive, or that I keep a destructive pattern alive in our life? Now, the question becomes, how do we support ourselves in processing and working through the idea of what's driving these patterns? Because it's often very hard to do without doing the homework. In this instance where I saw that I continuously made things hard at work and made them more complicated than I needed to do, and that it was really significance that was driving the story and the narrative that would cause me to do that, and also the feeling of feeling stuck, feeling unsupported, feeling overwhelmed, I get to feel those things, and that reminds my ego that I shouldn't have tried in the first place, blah, 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 blah. It's often difficult to do that just in our own head. We need to have a tool to support us on getting our ideas out. And here's three ways that I've seen that have been very supportive in me figuring out what that reason is that I keep my destructive pattern alive. So the first one is journaling. Now, this is actually one that I don't do regularly, but I want to bring it up because so many people benefit from writing it down. When you write down your thoughts and you get out of your head, you can actually see it on paper, and it's harder for you to trick yourself, and it's easier to see the patterns that we keep alive. So what would you journal? What we would journal is we'd write down the destructive pattern that continues to happen again and again. Then, whether through the lens of the six human needs or your own version of it, we'd ask ourselves, what's in it for me? What's in it for me when I keep this pattern alive? Why do I keep on doing it? Because I didn't say this bluntly, but if you just blame somebody else, or you just blame the pattern and say, I'm a faulty person and that's why I keep on doing this, you lose your power. When you put the blame on anything instead of stepping into your own power, you lose the power to change the situation. So that's why it's so important to unpack and ask ourselves, what's in it for us? One way to do that is journaling. Write down the pattern and start listing a reason of possibilities of things that we get, or that you get, when you continue to keep that pattern alive. Number two and number three Out of these three ways to unpack our thoughts and find out what's actually driving our destructive patterns, number two and number three are the ones that I do the most. Number two, talk to a trusted friend. Here's what I do with friends in my life. Shout out to a couple of my friends that have done this with my group, Man Morning Thursday, which is a group of guys here in Santa Monica and Los Angeles, which we meet up every Thursday morning. We go on a hike together, little men's group. We just talk about what's going on in our life. Going on in our lives. We talk about things that are working out well. We talk about things that are not working out well. We did a whole podcast episode. If you want to hear from the group of guys that I go hiking with every Thursday morning here in LA and why we do it, Google Broken Brain Man Morning Thursday. I forget the episode number, but you can find it. So there's a group of guys that are there. And sometimes what we'll do, whether I do it with them as a group or whether I do it solo, I will go to them and I'll say, hey, here's something I'm thinking about, and I just want you to listen. Just like, hear me out. I'm gonna just throw a few things out, and really your goal is not to necessarily offer me advice. Your goal is to listen and ask really good questions and help me dig deeper. It's okay to do that. It's okay to call a friend and say, hey, I just need you to listen to me right now. And if you have good questions, great, but don't jump in with your own thoughts and judgments on the situation, because sometimes people hear the destructive patterns that we do say, why do you keep on doing that? That's stupid. Just stop. Well, if it was that easy, we would have just done that in the first place. But it's not easy because we're actually getting something out of it. And if we don't find out what we're getting out of it, it's hard to stop a destructive pattern. So calling up a friend, sending them a text and say, hey, I'm going through something right now. Just wondering if you can hear me out. It doesn't have to be hours and hours. It could be sometimes 15 minutes. 10 minutes, 30 minutes, where we talk about the pattern, the things that led up to it, and our thoughts about what we might be getting, or a question for a friend who might know us well of, what do you think I'm getting from continuing to play out this pattern? Now, sometimes people don't like journaling, or they don't want to talk to a trusted friend. Well, the last one that I'll put out there that I'll still say is useful is talking to yourself. And when I say talking to yourself, I actually mean talking to yourself out loud and saying, why do I think that I'm doing these patterns? Is it because of X, Y, and Z? Is it because of this? Well, last week I had a hard time. It's basically asking and answering questions. When you ask and answer questions, you are having a conversation with yourself. And as crazy as that looks and sounds, it's very therapeutic. If you've never tried it before, try it. So ask yourself a question. Hey, Drew, and talk to yourself in the third person. Hey, Drew, so you're feeling a little off today because you caught yourself playing that same old pattern of not delegating. You feel overwhelmed. You feel this, you feel that. Okay, let's zoom out. How do you think you got here? What do you think are the things that are on your shoulders this week? Why do you feel so overwhelmed? Why do you feel that? And what do you think you're getting out of it? What happened early in the week? What happened last week that caused you to be in this place or in this situation? Asking and answering questions out loud, go to a private room, do it in your car, that's where I like to do it, is very therapeutic, because if you just try to solve this in your head, your mind will play tricks on you. Or you'll get distracted. You'll get distracted because it's very difficult to just think the whole thing through. Another thought will come in, another insecurity will come in, and then you won't end up doing the exercise in the first place. So those are three ways that you can unpack and ask yourself, what's in it for me when I play out this destructive pattern? You can journal, you could talk to a trusted friend, or you could talk to yourself out loud in a private place where you feel comfortable to be honest. So many times we do not tell ourselves the honest answer to why something's happening in our life. And it's actually really helpful to hear it from ourselves. What is a pattern that you're trying to break free from, that you're breaking free from, that you're committed to break free from? I want to hear from you. You can text me 302-335-6565. You know, these Big Idea Tuesday podcast episodes, if you've been listening to the last couple, you'll see that I'm not coming here with one food that's gonna change your life. I'm not here to talk about one biohacking tip or some supplement that's gonna make everything different. Because in my experience, those things are all great, but if you don't have the foundation, if you don't look at the most basic core things that are driving us in every aspect of our life, our mental health, our relationships, our work, our community, our sense of contribution, our sense of joy, our basic sense of happiness. If we don't give that attention, it's very hard to do other things without a sense of filling a void. You know, I interviewed my friend Peter Crone, I think it was episode 55 a while ago, and he said, when we don't have a foundation, everything else is limited at best. When we don't have a foundation of who we are, when we don't know why we're doing the things that we're wanting to do, when we don't have awareness to break free of patterns, we end up with a seeking mentality. We're looking for something else to fix our void, to fix the reason that we are the way that we are. I want to help you break free of that. I want to help you break free of thinking that this one thing from somebody else, anybody, including me, is going to change your life, this external thing. Instead, that was my timer for my podcast episode. I wanted to do one that was 15 minutes, gone a little over. If we learn how to stop being a seeker from external sources and instead look internally for the answers and our sense of groundedness, our life changes. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Text me with an idea or pattern that you're trying to break free from and the questions that you're asking yourself. Some insight you've had, 302-335-6565. This has been Big Idea Tuesday, where I present an idea, thought, distinction, guiding principle that's radically changed my life. If you like this episode, leave a review. For those of you that aren't subscribed, I would love you to subscribe. Until next time, talk to you soon.